Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the H2 FY 2026 earnings conference call of Capital Numbers Infotech Limited, hosted by Equirus Advisors Private Limited. Please note this conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not guarantee of future performance and may involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need any assistance during this conference, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone telephones. Please note that this conference call is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Ruby from Equirus Advisors Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, and a very good afternoon to everyone. Welcome to the H2 FY 2026 earnings call of Capital Numbers Infotech Limited. From management team, we have with us Mr. Mukul Gupta, Chief Executive Officer and Managing Director, Mr. Vipul Gupta, Executive Director, Mr. Sanket Hallaka, Chief Financial Officer, Ms. Anindya Mukherjee, Director of Operations, and Mr. Subhrajit Das, Director of HR. The call will begin with opening remarks from the management, after which we will open the floor for Q&A. With that, I would now like to hand over the call to the management for opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. I am Mukul Gupta, Managing Director and CEO of Capital Numbers Infotech Limited. Joining me today are Vipul Gupta, Executive Director, Sanket Hallaka, CFO, Mr. Anindya Mukherjee, our Director of Operations, Mr. Subhrajit Das, who is our Director of HR. Before I begin, I would like to let you know that the presentation has already been uploaded on the BSE website, and you can refer to the same. Let me begin by a brief overview of the company and our journey so far. Capital Numbers was founded in 2012 in Kolkata with a simple but ambitious vision to build a global technology company from India that could deliver world-class software engineering and digital transformation services to business across the world. Over the years, we have evolved from a small software services company into a global digital engineering partner serving startups, mid-sized businesses, and enterprise clients across multiple geographies. A major milestone in our journey came on January 27, 2025, when we successfully listed on the Bombay Stock Exchange SME platform following our IPO. We remain grateful for the trust and confidence shown by the investors during that process. Today, we are 500+ professionals serving more than 250 active clients globally. We operate development centers in Kolkata and Gurgaon, along with on-site presence in Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Morocco. Our business today spans software engineering, cloud transformation, AI, enterprise automation, Salesforce, and digital transformation initiatives. Our mission remains focused on helping clients improve efficiency, accelerate innovation, and stay competitive in a rapidly changing technology environment. We continue to maintain ISO 9001, ISO 27001, and SOC 2 Type 2 certification, reflecting our continued commitment to quality, security, and operational discipline. During FY 2026, the company also received several industry recognitions, including TIME Business Award for Excellence in AI Solutions, Economic Times Best Tech Brands 2025, Clutch 1000, which basically listed us as amongst top 1,000 software development companies globally, and of course, NASSCOM SME Inspire 2025. These recognitions strengthen our credibility in enterprise sales discussions, talent acquisitions, and global market positioning. As of March 31st, 2026, the promoter group held 74.98% shareholding in the company. During financial year 2026, I increased my personal shareholding from 39.8% to 40.4% through open market purchases. This reflects my long-term confidence in the company and open market purchases. This reflects my long-term confidence in the company, its strategy, and its future growth potential. Let me now move to our financial performance for financial year 2026. For the year March 31st, 2026, Capital Numbers reported total income of rupees 115.60 crores, representing an year-on-year growth of 9.4%. Revenue from operations increased to rupees 105.05 crores from INR 99.7 crores in financial year 2025. While this represents an improvement over financial year 2025 growth levels, the outcome was below our internal expectations for the year. During the second half of financial year 26, we expected elongated enterprise decision-making cycles and delayed ramp-up in certain large engagements, some of which now shifted into financial year 27. I would also like to inform the investors that during the last financial year, we committed a lot of financial investments toward growth in the Middle East, which didn't reflect to the planned revenue as expected in H2. Rather than slowing down investments during this period, we chose to continue investing in long-term growth areas, including business development, leadership hiring, AI capability development, enterprise sales, and delivery expansion. We believe these investment positions the company to grow more strongly for future. Despite these investments, profitability remained healthy and resilient. EBITDA for financial year 26 stood at INR 35.80 crores compared to INR 35.69 crores in financial year 25, resulting in an EBITDA margin of 31%. The moderation in margin primarily reflects planned investment in global sales and marketing, Gurgaon center expansion, senior talent induction, and AI capability building. Profit after tax stood at INR 25.50 crores compared to INR 25.80 crores in financial year 25. PAT margin for financial year 26 was 22.1%, which we believe remains strong for a company in an active investment and expansion phase. Basic earning per share for financial year 26 was INR 10.44 compared to INR 11.83 in financial year 25. This decline primarily reflects the impact of full year weighted average post-IPO share count during financial year 26 versus a partial post-IPO share base during financial year 25. Our balance sheet has also strengthened significantly during financial year 26. Total assets increased to INR 199.59 crores. Shareholder funds increased to INR 191.55 crores. Most importantly, the company continued to remain fully debt-free with a current ratio of approximately 29.8 times, providing strong liquidity and financial flexibility. From a financial discipline perspective, this remains one of the key strengths of the business. Operating cash generation remained healthy at 17.29 crores during financial year 26. Cash and bank balances at the year end stood at rupees 88.62 crores, while current investments increased to 81.13 crores. Trade receivables remained well controlled at 10.23 crores, reflecting disciplined collection and healthy client payment profile. Now let me discuss our strategic focus area and future direction. Artificial intelligence, machine learning, and generative AI continue to remain our highest priority and fastest growing service segment. During financial year 26, AI-related revenue exceeded 10% of total company revenue for the first time. Over the last 18 months, we have made substantial investment in AI capabilities, talent, delivery framework, and internal enablement. Our AI Center of Excellence continues to focus on research and development, enterprise AI implementation, delivery methodology, and internal AI adoption. We believe AI will fundamentally change the way software is designed, developed, tested, and maintained over the coming years. Accordingly, our objective is not only to deliver AI projects for the clients, but also to improve productivity and scalability internally through AI delivery methodology. During financial year 26, we also expanded our dedicated AI and machine learning hiring initiatives at our Gurgaon center and saw multiple enterprise AI pilots transition to production deployments. Moving to revenue structure. Approximately 91% of financial year 26 revenue came from time and material engagement. This model helps long-term client relationships, better revenue visibility, and closer integration with client engineering teams. Geographically, revenue distribution for financial year 26 was approximately 41% from US, 31% from Europe and UK, 10% from India, 11% from Middle East, and 7% from the rest of the world. We continue to see strong opportunities across North America and Europe while also gradually expanding our presence in the Middle East region. During financial year 26, we substantially increased investment in global business development activities. We participated in 9 international trade shows, including the London Tech Week, Mobile World Congress Barcelona, along with several additional international technology events. These initiatives generated over 500 qualified leads and multiple enterprise opportunities currently under active discussion. During financial year 26, we also secured two Fortune 500 client wins, one in life sciences and healthcare involving domain analytics and warehouse management, one in chemical and materials involving enterprise automation using UiPath. Due to confidentiality obligations, we are unable to disclose client identities publicly. However, these engagements strengthen our positioning in enterprise accounts and support future growth opportunities. Now, I would like to discuss our proposed acquisitions of Equitomi Cloud Inc. As disclosed, due diligence has been completed and definitive documentation discussions are currently in advanced stages. Equitomi Cloud is a U.S. incorporated technology services company headquartered in New Jersey, with an Indian subsidiary operating delivery centers in Bangalore and Hyderabad. The company specializes in Salesforce consulting, CPQ and revenue lifecycle transformation, contract lifecycle management, and workflow automation. Strategically, this acquisition is very important for several reasons. First, it strengthens our U.S. market presence and enterprise client access. Second, it expands our capabilities in premium enterprise technology segments. Third, it enhances our access to certified Salesforce and enterprise technology talent. Fourth, it is expected to support our future growth objectives and service diversification. I would like to reiterate that this transaction remains subject to definitive agreements, regulatory approvals, and customary closing conditions. Importantly, this transaction is expected to be funded through IPO proceeds and balance will be funded through internal accruals available without external debt. Moving on to liquidity and financial strength. As of March 31, 2026, cash and bank balances stood at 88.62 crores, current investments stood at 81.13 crores, long-term fixed deposits stood at approximately 1.6 crores. This resulted in a total cash and investment of approximately 171.3 crores. The company remains fully debt-free with substantial financial flexibility and liquidity. This strong balance sheet provides the company with the ability to invest in growth, pursue strategic opportunities, strengthen delivery, and navigate market cycles effectively. Looking ahead to financial year 27, based on the current visibility, active pipeline discussions, and expected business momentum, management is targeting a minimum 35% revenue growth in INR terms during financial year 27. Along with the gradual EBITDA margin recovery towards 33%. The expected improvement is driven by operating leverage from Gurgaon expansion, productivity gains from recent senior hires, improved utilizations, and expected contribution from higher value enterprise engagements. This guidance reflects management's current expectations and remains subject to risks and uncertainties, including macroeconomic conditions, client spending patterns, onboarding timelines, and competitive dynamics. During financial year 26, the company distributed an interim dividend of 10% of face value. Additionally, the board has approved a proposed final dividend of 10% of face value, subject to shareholder approval at the forthcoming annual general meeting. Before I conclude, I would like to thank our shareholders, employees, clients, partners, and board members for their continued trust and support. Financial year 26 was a year of investment, capability building, and strategic positioning of the company. We remain focused on disciplined execution, responsible growth, operational excellence, and long-term shareholder value creation. Thank you once again for your time and continued confidence in Capital Numbers. We will now open the floor for questions.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may enter star followed by one on the touchtone telephones. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may enter star followed by two. Participants are requested to please use only handsets while asking a question. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants are requested to please limit their questions to two questions per participant so that the management can address all questions in the queue. Thank you. The first question is from the line of Deepak Poddar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I'm audible, sir.
Yes, good afternoon.
Yeah, very good afternoon, sir. Thank you very much for this opportunity. So just first up on the acquisition part, so what is the amount we are paying for this acquisition, Epitome Cloud, and what is its financials? And so, 35% growth, how much portion is coming from Epitome?
Yeah, so I will answer all the three questions. The total consideration amount for Epitome Cloud would be about 40 crores. That's what the total consideration amount is. The company's top line is around 30 crores and its EBITDA margin is around?
So the adjusted EBITDA margin will be in line with the company expectation and it will not deteriorate our existing EBITDA percentage.
Yeah, and in terms of revenue contribution, we believe approximately 25% to 30% would be coming through this acquisition.
Okay, so organic growth, I mean, even last 3 years, if you see our organic growth has been in the range of, 3, 4, 5%, right? FY24, if you say FY29, this year also, 35% we are talking about, majority 30 crores top line is coming from the acquisition only. So organic growth is somewhere we are lacking, right? There we are not able to see growth. Just wanted to understand why. What is the concern?
Okay. Yeah. No, absolutely. It's a very fair question. So in our typical business, what we are seeing is we have an approximate client retention rate of about 90%. So what we believe is that organically, we would be adding another 20-25 crores in a net new revenue in the business. So the projection that I am giving of 35% is basically the most pessimistic projection, and we will revise it as the company, as the situation evolves in the future. But in comparison to last year, we see much better organic growth this year as well.
So 25 crores addition organically that you can expect, and plus 30-35 crores.
But there would be some natural client churn which happens as well. So about 10% churn is very natural in our business.
No. So this 25 crores is after the churn, right?
No, sir. What I'm trying to say is, if you look at the current top line of the company, then we expect that there would be a churn of approximately 10%, and then we will be adding approximately, let's say, 20-25 crores in terms of net new revenue and approximately 30 crores to acquisition. Okay. As these things play out, we expect that the total growth in the company should be around 35% at the most pessimistic level.
At the most pessimistic. Okay, I got it. And in terms of your cash, we have got 170 crores of cash, right? Some of this,
yes,
will be utilized in this acquisition, but majority will still be left. So what is the plan on that?
Yes. So this is only the first acquisition that we have planned in a series of acquisition. We plan to at least do 2-3 more acquisitions in the coming years. So we are already talking to multiple companies. And a lot of fund will be used towards future acquisition, as well as further investment in the company as we develop offices in this, for example, in US.
Okay. And this acquisition, by when it's expected to get completed, the Epitome?
So the due diligence has been completed. We are in the process of signing the definitive agreement. We expect it to complete within 8 to 12 weeks.
8 to 12 weeks?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And one last thing from my side. In terms of margins, we are saying we have got 31% margin, right? I'm not able to understand. Where are you getting this 31% EBITDA margin from? Including other income, because your EBITDA is 25 crores.
Yeah, by the formula, we are including the total income as a denominator and the EBITDA as a numerator.
Yeah, but you are including other income?
Right. We are including.
So even if our other income I include, then your 25 crores becomes 35 crores, then your EBITDA margin becomes 34%. So I'm not able to understand 31% EBITDA margin in FY26. I'm not able to
My EBITDA margin is 30, the total EBITDA is 35.79, right, for the year.
Uh-huh.
And the total revenue is 116 crores. So it's 31%.
35.7 divided by 105 is your... you're including this 10 crores in total revenue.
We are including other income. That is what the base formula actually is.
Okay. I got it. Yeah. That would be it from my side. Very helpful. Wish you all the best.
Thank you, sir, for joining the call. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanket Sath from Arth AIF. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. My first question is that in the last earnings call, we guided that we will be participating in more trade shows in H2. However, the company has only spent 44 lakhs in H2, which is close to 7.3 lakhs per month on average. And I understand because of the West Asia crisis, and I saw on LinkedIn that you were unfortunately also stuck in the Middle East while your team was traveling to Spain.
Yes, sir.
So apart from that, were we able to, you know, find any other opportunities in Europe or the US? And if you could kind of give some guidance about the trade shows coming up in the next 6 months and how much we will be spending there.
Yes, sir. Thank you for that question. So again, what happened in last years, we've invested quite a lot in trade shows, and predominantly we were focused on Middle East. So like, I mean, out of 9 events, so we did 3 non, like 6 were done in Middle East. And in H2, what we saw is a lot of disturbance that is happening, and still it is not clear. So what happens is these trade shows require a commitment like at least 8 to 10 months prior to what actually happening. And right now, still right now, we do not have any transparency or visibility into what's how the situation is going to pan out. So we have actually reduced our commitment for trade shows in the Middle East. We are going to do only 2 or 3 major events. So that's like, that is what we have already committed to for the coming financial year. But what we are doing is we are utilizing the fund towards other marketing and sales channels. So if you want, you can kind of talk for a couple of seconds about that as well.
Yes, yes, sure.
Yeah, sure. So what we are doing is post, like one of the things is that post this acquisition that is happening, we will have a physical base in the US. So what we start doing again is invest in more events on US and European side. In fact, we are going to London Tech Week just next week as well. And then what we are also doing is we have started a demand gen team, which is basically a outbound team, which is going to generate more leads out of European countries. So we have sort of pivoted away from doing more events in Middle East to reinvestment in US, Europe, and this demand gen team that is, again, we have started a new practice in the company.
Got it, sir. Understood. Sir, our other expenses has increased by 30%. And as per my understanding, you know, typically a major expense is, you know, our marketing and sales and business development, which is put under other expenses, right? But since,
yes,
you know, we weren't able to do much of that this year. So what was the reason other expenses increased by 30%?
So what happens is, if you look at other, you're absolutely right. The other expenses, marketing and sales, is the biggest component of marketing and sales is the biggest component of the other expenses column, along with technical fees, which is basically something that we are currently paying to like subcontractors, to the payment subcontractors. So these two are the major components of the other expenses. So the technical expenses that you see, basically, since we do not have a physical entity in the Middle East, whatever employees we are deploying in Middle East, we are doing through a third-party provider, which is why it is getting shown in the technical fees. Secondly, in the marketing, what we are doing is that, I mean, obviously a lot of fund went into marketing. We are reutilizing that fund this year. It is not that we are cutting the budget, but we are trying to optimize it so that we do not over-invest in Middle East, but diversify into other areas, including online demand generation, this demand gen team, which is basically a cold calling outbound team that we have already set up. We have even appointed a head of demand gen for that particular position, as well as expansion of events into US, UK, and Europe.
Okay, got it, sir. Understood. So my last question is, the company was previously interested in increasing the revenue mix from the Middle East. But despite the West Asia war, was the company able to gain any insight, any incremental business from Middle East, like from the BFSI space?
Yes. So one of our top 5 clients is currently from Middle East, and Middle East is now contributing about, I think, 7-8%. Yeah, 11% of the revenue is coming from Middle East market. So Middle East grew a lot. However, in H2, we intentionally are being very cautious. Again, the teams are not traveling anymore to Middle East. And we are, so whatever client base we have, we are more interested in maintaining that and growing those accounts instead of any net new acquisition. So we're kind of holding off what we are doing in Middle East for the time being. But yes, one of our top 10, top 5 clients is actually coming from the Middle Eastern region, which is a new addition to the company.
Understood. And we're only focusing on BFSI and Middle East, right? There's no healthcare revenue coming from there, right?
No, so healthcare in Middle East is a bit difficult. Currently, it's only BFSI.
Understood. Okay. Thank you, sir. That's it from my end.
Thank you so much, sir, for joining the call.
Thank you. Participants with questions may enter star and one on the handset. The next question is from the line of Chintan Parekh from Vyom Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
All right. Sir, first question is, what is behind our other income of 10.55 crore?
So I take this question. The other income constitutes majorly income from the fixed deposit and the sale of investment.
Okay, and can you a little bit elaborate on the sale of investment?
It's a sale of investment what we are holding currently in our current investment. And the interest from FD is that is for the IPO that we kept for further utilization.
Okay, understood. So next question is on the Epitom Cloud acquisition. What are the current numbers of Epitom in March 26 and what the onshore-offshore ratio of Epitom?
For March 26, CY 26 is
28 crores, and in terms of offshore onshore, they have 7 people on site in US and about 45 in India.
Okay. And sir, post acquisition, what will be our onshore offshore mix?
We will not change any dynamic. Currently, we do not have anybody on site in US. After the acquisition, we will not change any structure within the existing company and continue to operate it as is.
So, sir, post-integration, our margin will improve or margin will reduce because now we have more, let's say 7 more US resources and we are also planning to add more US presence for our sales and marketing as well. So,
the margins will increase. Sorry to interrupt you. Please continue. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, revenue definitely will increase, but what about the margin, profit margin perspective?
Yeah, the margins will also increase. This company's adjusted EBITDA margin is already in line with our current adjusted EBITDA margin. And these resources they are not a generic provider. Epitome Cloud operates in a very specialized area of business where they are able to command premium rates. The profitability will continue to, like, they are profitable at what they are doing. And we expect that post this transaction as well, the net effect on our balance sheet will be positive in all sense, both revenue as well as profitability.
Okay. And sir, you mentioned that you are also looking at some other acquisition. Can you help us understand, is it a geography-based strategy? Is it a specialized ERP place like, or let's say CRM place like Salesforce or Conga, what we see on Epitom? What is the growth strategy for acquisition that you are currently pursuing?
Perfect. No, absolutely. So we are very focused on that and very mindful of how we are acquiring, what companies we are looking for. So predominantly what we are looking for as our next acquisition is a company which has domain expertise in AI, preferably some vertical experience in either fintech or health tech. So that's the next target and we are actively scouting, meeting companies every week. So that's our next target for acquisition. And with this acquisition, we have fulfilled our projection of having expertise around Salesforce, Conga and Agiloft, which Epitome Cloud brings on board.
Okay. And sir, in terms of our revenue mix, right, you mentioned AI is around 10%. So what kind of AI work is there? If you can, is it a T&M work mainly here as well? Or?
Are you asking, is that T&M work?
Yeah, the AI revenue
of 10%. Yes, sir. That's a company-wide standard. So typically about 90%, 91% in fact of the revenue is recurring T&M based work and the remaining 9% is basically a fixed cost agreement, limited time fixed cost agreements.
The AI revenue that we are talking about of 10%, so that AI revenue specifically, is it also T&M revenue of in the AI?
I will explain your question in a little longer way. I will explain the sales cycle of AI is a bit different than what we typically do. So what happens in a typical AI project is you start with a discovery, right? We try to understand the client's business problem, then we move to prototype, then we move to a POC or a full-fledged development depending on where the client is at. So all AI contracts basically start as a discovery, which is a fixed cost agreement. So we charge a certain fee upfront for exploring business case and demand creating a POC for them. As soon as it transitions to production, it becomes a T&M contract where we basically deploy teams, which is built on a monthly contract. So it's the standard practice in AI, what we are currently following. So all AI contracts are also following T&M model itself.
Okay. All right. Thanks. I'll go back into the queue. Yeah.
Thank you so much, sir, for joining the call.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Imran from Longbow, India. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. I hope I'm audible.
Yes, sir. Please continue. Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon. Sir, my question is to the CFO. If you know, you can clarify, the amount that we raised from the IPO is about 169 crores, right?
Yeah. Pardon, please? What amount?
So the amount that we raised from the IPO is about 169 crores, right?
Yeah, correct.
Half of which the promoter did the process,
right.
half came to the company. So my question to you is, what were the total IPO-related expenses? About 20 crores or something?
So the total IPO-related expenses is around 21 CR, out of which promoters has incurred reimbursed around 11 CR. So the net expenses will be stood around between 9 to 10 CR for the company.
So when did this happen? When did the promoter reimburse 11 crore rupees? Because I was checking the numbers last year and it was all charged to the company. When did promoter?
No, actually, the thing is that the we made the IPO in the month of January end, 25.
Right.
So all the expenses relating to IPO was met. Most of the expenses are met in the FY 25-26. So just after completing the total outlay of the IPO expenses, the annexure was presented to the promoters and they have reimbursed. So reimbursement was done in the year 25-26 for the expenses which we have paid in cash in 25-26.
Okay, so those reimbursement done in 26. Got it. I think this was the question. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, as a request, please limit your questions to two questions per participant. The next question is from the line of Madhur Rathi from Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I'm relatively new to the company, so if you could help me understand, what is exactly that we provide to this BFSI customers in digital engineering segment? And so the acquisition that we did, how does this fit into our tech capabilities or product offerings? If you could help me understand, how does this integrate?
Sure. Well, thank you so much for being a part of Capital Numbers and joining this call. I really am honored. Thank you so much. So I will answer the question in a little longer way. So we are not specialized in BFSI. It is just that BFSI happens to be, so we are primarily a digital product engineering company. A lot of our clients happen to be in BFSI sector, where what we do for them is basically either end-to-end product development. So we have clients, for example, in UK who are into payment gateway solutions, where we have developed entire payment goal solutions for them. We have clients in US for which we have created mortgage and loan disbursement platforms. So several things that we have done. In the software development lifecycle, sometimes clients come to us and say that, okay, we just want you to build the entire product for us. In some cases, for example, we work with a major insurer in the Middle East. For them, we only do automation testing. So it is just that, based on where the client is at, what they are looking for, we either take care of end-to-end product development for them, or they can basically involve us in the particular problem that they're currently facing. So that's to answer your question around BFSI. This Salesforce initiative is something that we were very keen on. So even when we raised funds during the IPO, one of the key objectives was we wanted to expand in niche enterprise technology areas where we identified certain areas where we want to grow. Salesforce being primary amongst them. So again, it was a question of whether we go through an organic route where we build everything from ground up, or whether we found we basically do an M&A and get to the market faster. This company that we are acquiring, the way it adds value to the company is it is not just a generic Salesforce provider. Like you don't do service cloud, marketing cloud. I mean, these are the common things, sales cloud. They are specialized in revenue cloud. And there are very few companies, they obviously do the other things as well, but there are very few companies that specialize in that area, and their end customers tend to be very large enterprises. So that gives us access to working with a larger, bigger clientele than we are currently serving. Secondly, majority of the revenue currently comes from US, where we currently have no physical base. The founder of the company is basically based out of Bay Area, and it is our intention now to have a physical office in America as well. So it will give us a foundation to basically have a presence in America and sort of grow our customer base and improve our customer services from there. So that's the kind of synergy we are looking for.
So if I were to compare the product development and software testing and other service offerings that we provide to our similar to our competitors, sir, our margins are on a higher end. So, sir, what is it that we do differently, or what is it our competitive advantage versus other IT companies that helps us deliver these high margins? And, sir, we also mentioned that we expect to grow at 35%. So, this is organic growth, right? Line was not clear when you mentioned this.
No, sure. So, I will answer the second question first. The guidance that we have given is basically, we haven't split the guidance into organic or inorganic. So it's a combined guidance where we expect that the company should pessimistically be growing at least 35%, and we should be able to improve our EBITDA margin by at least 200 basis points. So that's the overall guidance of the company for the current financial year. Now coming to capital numbers as a IT services company. It's a very good question. We are one of the few smaller companies in India who have the kind of credentials. Like, I'm not comparing myself to the larger enterprises, and all the due respect to them, they're the bigger companies out there. If you were to look at the small size IT services company, very few companies have the kind of expertise, the kind of reach, and the kind of certifications that we do. So even if you look at our brand mentions, and you can just, I mean, I would encourage you to please visit our websites, and you will see a lot of brand mentions. Like, we have continuously received award from Economic Times, Times of India. NASSCOM has ranked us as SME Inspire, and the current finance chief commerce minister of India himself presented the award to us in Delhi. So we have the company that has those credentials to grow. Secondly, the certifications. So if you look at ISO 9000, which is very common, but 27001, SOC 2, Type 2, these are certain compliance which smaller companies do not invest in. So when a company which is in, let's say, healthcare or a BFSI, who are very, very sensitive about the intellectual property and confidentiality and data protection, when they're kind of evaluating vendors, we feel that if, as a combination of all of these things, we stand out and they see us as a much stronger competitor, much, much stronger provider or partner for themselves.
Got it, sir. So thank you so much, and all the best.
Thank you so much for joining the call.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhaval Ravaria, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Very good afternoon, sir.
Afternoon, sir.
I have two questions over here. So, like, as you said, you're going to achieve a 35% of revenue growth in the FY27. So, what is the management, like, the medium-term revenue target and the CAGR for the next 2 to 3 years? Like, is it going to be the same 35%, or will it be changed, or, like, how is it?
So, sir, our initial, like, our goal, our intention for the next 3 years is to achieve a 200 crore top line, maintaining the current EBITDA margins and improving it. So that's what we are aiming for. Like, that's our 3 year plan, and we are currently executing that. And we feel that, like, with all the things that we have been doing, investing in development centers, investing in leadership, investing in marketing, investing in acquisition, we should be able to achieve that. Your first question, sir, was around your guidance in the short term. Was it like, what is our short term revenue?
Medium term, I need to say, like medium term growth.
So I will let our CFO answer this question.
So 1 year, medium terms means 1 year.
Oh, medium terms, sir. Okay, I got your question. So your medium term, sir, is 1 year, we are projecting 35% growth.
Okay, sir. Okay. And so my second question is, like, from the FY26 trade show, you in the London Tech Work, wherein you got like around 500 plus qualified leads. Like, how many of them have been converted into, like, the paying customers so far? And what is the ratio, what is the follow-up thing, like, you do to achieve that number?
Right, sure. So, what happens in trade shows is, basically, these are larger enterprise lifestyle conversations. So, the deal to discussion to deal chosen time is approximately 6 to 12 months. So, it is not like a short-term thing. So we will see a lot more deal closures happening in the coming weeks and months from all the events that we have done. Second thing, sir, I would like to again reiterate, and I want to be very honest and transparent to our investors, is last year, between, like, if we did 9 events, with 6 we did in Middle East, 3 we did international, approximately, maybe there's like 4 and 5, I'm just seeing rough numbers. In the Middle East, we are intentionally not pushing. So whatever deals we are currently talking, we are pursuing those. Whatever is happening, we are continuing with all the clients, but we are not being aggressive in the Middle East because we do not know how things will pan out over there. In the other regions that we did events in, all the discussions are in progress, and we currently added in this year, we added 2 Fortune 500 clients to our client roster, which didn't exist before. So that basically shows that these deals are able to get us into better quality conversations with our clients.
Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you, sir. That's it from me.
Thank you so much, sir. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Participants with questions may enter star and one. The next question is from the line of Kush from Kushal Digital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello, sir.
Good afternoon. I have 2 saal, 1 saal se aapki company mein kiya hai. तो कोई ग्रोथ नहीं है ये कभी भी है ना कोई शॉर्ट टू मीडियम टर्म में या फिर कभी भी जो जिसने लॉन्ग टर्म इन्वेस्ट किया उसका तो पैसा भी कभी नहीं बना और हर दिन डाउन ही जा रहा है आपका शेयर तो आपकी ग्रोथ हो रही
सर,
है
मैं आंसर देता हूं
कंपनी ग्रोथ कर रही है पर वो शेयर होल्डर्स की कोई ग्रोथ नहीं हो रही
सर इसका आंसर मैं दे रहा हूं सर हमने जब से आईपीओ किया है हमने प्रॉफिट ही दिखाया और मतलब ग्रोइंग इन प्रॉफिट इन एब्सोल्यूट टर्म्स अब शेयर प्राइस के बारे में तो इतना कमेंट नहीं कर पाएंगे बट इट्स आई थिंक इट्स ड्रिवन बाय इन्वेस्टर ओनली तो आप लोग ही बता पाओगे कि इवन आफ्टर परफॉर्मिंग फॉर लास्ट 2 इयर्स व्हाई इज द कंपनी शेयर
बढ़ रहा है ना आपकी कंपनी में हर रोज कम ही हो रहा है पता नहीं एक साल से मेरा रिटर्न तो कोई बना नहीं
सर हम लोग पॉजिटिव हैं इसको कंपनी को लेकर तो होपफुली मे बी इन फ्यूचर आपको अच्छा रिटर्न आ सकता है बट आई पर्सनली आई वी कैन नॉट कमेंट ऑन द शेयर प्राइस
नहीं मतलब वो मिड कैप का वो बोल रहे थे जब आपकी वो आईपीओ मीट थी तब ऐसा कुछ बोल रहे थे
वो दैट इज इन आवर टारगेट
माइक्रो कंपनी बन जाएगी थोड़े दिनों
हाँ दैट इज आवर टारगेट एज मुकुल सर हैज ऑलरेडी कमेंटेड कि वी वॉन्ट टू डबल द कंपनी इन 3 ईयर्स सो एट दैट For a particular time, we can think of listing in the mid-cap, from SME to the main board.
Okay.
That is in our pipelines.
No, but it's not happening. Sir, it's not been
3 years yet, right? In
1 year, it's not been in the future.
Sir, we gave it 3 years. Okay. I think we can... proceed to next question. Right.
Sure, sir. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sai Kiran Pulavarti from Pulavarti Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Good afternoon.
Hello. Am I audible? Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, sir. Just curious, I want to understand what is your parameters when you are allocating capital primarily for the acquisition? Whether you look at payback period or you look at what are the parameters which you look at when you are evaluating any deal in the M&A?
Sir, I will answer this question in a very broad sense, in a sense that I do not want to disclose too much. But the primary criteria is that we are looking at a service company with some IP, in a sense that we are not looking at a pure product play. We are looking at a company that is into services. Majority of the revenue should come from exports. So we are not looking at companies who are basically doing business in India. So it has to be export-driven revenue. The company should have should be profitable, like it should be growing and profitable. And then some technology specialization. So what we have set up is that either they specialize in a particular technology or they have domain expertise in a certain industry. So that's the four kind of like criteria that we have put in. And that's how we are working with our advisors as well, who are continuously connecting us with matching companies, whom we are meeting almost one company every week and evaluating them.
Got it. In terms of the financial parameters, what are the few things which you keep in mind while pursuing further?
So the revenue top
line... What I need to say is,
like,
say for example, in this case of potential acquisition, which you are in the close to the finalization, you are putting in approximately 40 crores.
Yes,
do you think from that ROC perspective or ROE perspective, or how many years there are certain thresholds which you have in mind, how do you think about it?
So, I mean, is it possible for you to rephrase your question a bit? I mean, I will try my best. Are you saying that financial parameters, what financial parameters, and what return on equity, what return on investment?
Yes, absolutely. So, return on investment. For example, you are allocating 40 crores of capital. On an alternative basis, your returns are primarily the FD returns. Of course, your business is making much more better ROEs and ROCEs. So do you have any threshold, like 20% ROE I have to put in when I buy an asset, or how do you think about it?
So initially, when we pick the acquisition or a target company, we basically see whether that company has the potential to grow in a synergic basis. Secondly, whether the EBITDA margin is in line with our company, adjusted EBITDA, what I am talking about. So these two parameters are there. And third is the technical one, whether it should bring new technology or new manpower that could increase the company in on a consolidated basis.
Okay, sir. Thanks. And just one last question from my side, sir. You have expanded into Gurgaon for various stated reasons. Now that you have spent some time in the development center in Gurgaon, have your objectives which you envisaged earlier were achieved, or how do you think about it?
Okay, sir. So you are asking whether the objective of establishing the Gurgaon Development Center has been achieved or not. Is that your question, sir?
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, without that Gurgaon Capability Center that we have established, I don't think we would have been able to do like what we have been doing. So all new management hires, whatever capacity building we are doing, is all basically happening in Gurgaon. And I would say that, yes, our objectives over there has been achieved. And we look forward to growing that center.
Thanks, sir. Really appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, sir, for joining the call.
The next question is from the line of Anuj Kumar Ghosh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, Anuj, you are audible.
Okay. The thing is that two questions I have. First of all, with regards to the acquisition approved by the board meeting, can you provide the brief details? On the revenue visibility, you have already said that 35% is the revenue visibility in the coming, that means in the current fiscal year, okay? And the second thing is that what is the employee strength current right now is the going to acquisition going to happen? And the third question is that you said in the last con call that your growth will be 15%, but it has not been achieved. So what is the main reason for that?
Okay, sir. So I will answer all your questions one by one. Let me first answer the bigger question, which is why the growth hasn't happened. That's a very fair question. That's definitely a very fair question. And I really respect that you brought that up. The growth, it is not that we have lost any material. There has been no material disruption to the business. We haven't lost major clients. The growth didn't happen primarily because in H2, we didn't expect whatever new contract closures that we expected. the time it take to took to close a few contracts has been higher. So I mean, we didn't, the contract that we took didn't materialize in a way we thought it would materialize. Cloud Epitome, currently, if you look at the company, its top line is around 28 crores and its adjusted EBITDA is in line with our current EBITDA. And the third question, sir, it has about 55 employees, 7 on-site, remaining on-site in the US and remaining over here in India. And that would be added as a net addition to the company.
So that means offshore there is 7 and in India it is 45.
On-site are 7. In America, they have 7 people.
Okay. And in India, 45.
45 people, sir.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepak Poddar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead. Mr. Poddar, your line is unmuted. Yes,
I'm audible?
Yes.
Oh, okay, yeah. Thank you very much once again, sir, for this opportunity. So just wanted to understand, I mean, some of the shareholders were talking about the returns and all not getting generated. I mean, are we considering in light of that? And also, it's much below our IPO price, right? Considering any kind of buyback from the company side, I mean, that kind of will build confidence from the investor community. Yeah.
We have cash balance as well, right? So right now, we have not considered any buyback. So we plan to utilize our capital towards growth and expansion. So we are being more aggressive on the acquisition and business development side. So right now, we are not planning any any buybacks.
We are paying dividends.
So dividend, again, sir, we have announced dividends, but I mean, we are not planning any buyback right now.
Okay. But this entire 170 crores, we'll utilize it for the acquisition purpose? I mean, that 2-3 acquisition you were...
Part of it will be utilized for organic growth to cope up with the new technology and new strength that also needs some funds. And presently, we are not looking for buyback. Maybe it can be rethought after a year or something.
Mm-hmm. Okay, understood. And whatever investment we are doing in terms of these new technologies, I mean, we expense it or is any amount we capitalize as well?
No, it's all expense out.
Acha, it's all is expensed out.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, that would be it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir, for joining the call.
Yeah.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Nishit Srivastava, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon, Mr. Gupta and everyone. Can you hear me?
Good afternoon, sir. Yes.
I just want to understand the dividend policy. Because I understand that your cash and investment is to the tune of about 180 crores. And then you have earned around 11 rupees per person, I mean EPS, and you're distributing 1 rupee as a dividend. So this is on the lower side in my understanding because of the cash and investments you already have on the books. And in fact, on the irony side is that your market cap is almost equivalent to your cash and investments, which is really an irony from that point of view. But your dividend policy is not very attractive in that sense. So can you comment on that?
I take this question, sir. Thank you for your feedback, sir. Our dividend policy is not 10%. It's 20% taking the final dividend in consideration. And we plan to distribute around 20% to 25% of our current reserve as a dividend, current profit as a dividend. Apart from that, regarding the shareholder fund, we believe that part is given back to the shareholder as a dividend and the part we kept it with the company to grow it further. So this is what is our thought on the shareholder returns.
Okay. I appreciate that. If you can make that money work better, that actually is win-win for everyone. So
yeah, noted, sir. We will take this for future.
Yeah, and my second question is that if I take away the other income and calculate the operating margin, it comes to about 24%. I mean, I'm not counting the other income. So when you say 200 basis point improvement, is it on this one or you are also including the other income when you are saying that 31% to 33%?
So it's the operating income increased by 200 basis point.
Okay. So it's like the total that you're calculating, basically including the other income, even in the future.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Oh, fine. I understand. And one last question probably is that the acquisition that you did of Epitome, which is about 45 people, and we paid 40 crores for that acquisition, which is, if I do a back of the envelope calculation, comes to about 90 lakhs per capita, per person, the acquisition cost. So, and when I see the run rate of our company, which is like 115 crores for, and 500 people, that if I calculate again, it comes to about 22 lakhs per capita per person. So is that something not very expensive from the acquisition point of view, the one that you did versus what our own company actually values?
To correct you, sir, they are, as Mukul sir has already said, there are 7 persons that are on-site in US, where the billing rate is very high and the cost is also very high. So if you, apart from that 7%, 45 are from India and they are working on the niche technology. So considering that and the projected EBITDA, we consider it a very reasonable acquisition.
Okay, fair. So do you see any sectoral headwinds or, because the IT market is kind of now seen as saturated, or, but do you see any tailwinds because of the AI and ML, or you still see that it's a normal growth that we expect going forward and not something like a strong tailwind or something, or even a headwind, if you can just, I want to actually look at from next 3 to 5 years perspective from a business point of view. So do you see any headwinds, either way, like headwind or tailwind in the United States?
Absolutely, sir, and I will take that question. I mean, in terms of, if you look at what are the headwinds, I think the global economic uncertainty is the biggest headwind that the sector is facing right now. I mean, that's just the common thing that we are seeing. What we are also seeing is, I mean, that is the biggest challenge, and obviously there's obviously a question of talent availability around AI, which is also becoming challenging. In terms of headwinds, there are a lot of opportunities around AI for sure. What we are seeing in the company is increasing demand in terms of AI services, cloud modernization, automation. So a lot more discussions happening. People are trying to figure out how to best implement AI in their business. And I think that's the biggest opportunity we're pursuing now. Also, with the Salesforce acquisition that we are currently doing, that opens up a completely new domain for us, because as I was telling, this company is specialized in a very niche area of Salesforce, which is revenue operations. So there are not many specialized players in that particular area, and we feel that will definitely open new opportunities for us.
Okay. Thank you so much for taking my questions. I just want to leave it with one, if I can do say advice, is that because your market cap is almost equivalent to your cash and investments, so you are sitting in a lot of cash, I think the buyback would be the best, or I don't know, you are the best judge, but from a shareholder point of view, I would say that buyback would be one of the good options for you to look at.
Thank you so much. I will definitely consider it.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Ruby for closing comments.
On behalf of Capital Numbers Infotech Limited and Equibridge Advisors, I would like to thank everyone for taking the time to join today's conference call. Should you have any further queries, please feel free to connect with us at info@equibridgex.com. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. On behalf of EquibridgeX Advisors Private Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.